I want to talk to you tonight about stipulations in the Bible. Stipulations in the Bible. The Bible's full of promises, amen? But with every promise, there's a stipulation. In other words, if we do our part, then we expect God to do his part. He doesn't force anything. Turn to get those little Bibles, turn to page 166 or Romans chapter 8, 8:1. On page 166, but like I say, with every promise, there's a stipulation. And a lot of times, I've seen people get frustrated with God, so to speak. Why doesn't he answer my prayer? And if you have the time, if we have the time to talk to him long enough, we'll find out that there's something in their life that hinders that from happening. He doesn't just throw requests, answers out, shotgun style. He's very specific. I believe in praying in specifics. Exactly. What do you need? What do you want? Kind of thing. Romans 8:1, very familiar verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. The promise is here, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All right? That's saying born again Christians, right? If you're in Christ Jesus, then you must be born again. Now, but the stipulation, it goes with that promise, is what? Who do not walk according to the flesh. So it looks like to me the promise, or the stipulation rather, gets even thinner than just being born again. In other words, it's not as broad as you might think. Because all Christians don't walk after the Spirit. That's not saying they're not saved, but they're not following God. Or else this chapel would be full. Amen? That's one, for instance. The churches would be running over. But it's only for convenience sake now. It says here, again, at the end of that verse of Romans 8:1, that... It's to those who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit, meaning how we walk our everyday life, the habits that we do, the habits we maintain is what I wrote down, and our actions, etc. And then we go to verse 5, drop down to verse 5, and it tells us how we should be living or not living. It addresses both. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, sets their mind. Now remember, we're talking about born again Christians here, okay? Because he addressed that in the beginning, right? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're addressing us that call ourselves born again Christians. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on what? The things of the flesh, okay? But those who live according to the Spirit, and that's capital S, I want you to notice that. That means the Holy Spirit, right? Not our spirit. When it says little s, it's our spirit, okay? Set your minds on the things of the flesh, but those live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It can't please God. A person with a carnal mind or a fleshly mind, something that wants to please the flesh. And again, that includes born-again Christians. In fact, I think here it's addressing that in particular. Turn to page 201 or Galatians chapter 6. Another promise with a stipulation and another very familiar scripture. But I just wanted to point out the stipulations to us tonight to make sure that as we as Christians are walking out our life, make sure we meet the criteria, if you please, to expect God to answer our prayer, right? And we'll go through this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, that's, we've heard that hundreds of times. If you've been around church much, you've heard that preached. And it's taught a lot about tithing, which is true, but it also applies to virtually every area of life. Now, this is a no-brainer, though, you know. If you don't plant, you don't reap. That's simple, right? If you don't sow a garden, you don't have a garden. If you don't plant peace and joy, you don't have peace and joy. And in this world that we live in today, everything's so hectic, and the world is coming at us with all this stuff. To me, I look at it as fertile ground. That's some good ground to plant in. Because they don't have peace and joy. They're doing everything to try to get it. I've said this many times, but a man asked me one time why I was so happy all the time. And he had quite a bit of money. And I said, Richard, I got something that your money can't buy. But I said, you could have both if you had your priorities straight. God don't need your money. He was always worried about giving money away. He wasn't going to give nothing to nobody. So how much peace did he have, right? Just think about it. He was hoarded up for himself. I'm thankful to say, though, I've recontacted him. He lives in Alabama now and on Facebook, and he professes being born again. So I'm thrilled to know that. That's just a personal thing to me, you know. Some guy, I used to work for his daddy. And so anyway, he couldn't figure out why I was making what I was making, and I was so happy, and he was making what he was making, but he wasn't happy. And as simple as, you know, the more you get, the more you want. I had a very wealthy multimillionaire tell me that one time, and that stuck with me. He said, if you make $1 million, you want two. If you get two, you want four. He said, there's no end to that. He said, you're better off where you're at. And I thought, that's easy for you to say. But he was right. It was being content where we are, right? So one of the stipulations of getting our prayers answered is simply being happy where you are. Be content with whatever you have, Paul said, right? He said, I've learned how to have a lot. I've learned how to not have nothing. It don't matter. It's okay. So, but now, look at verse 9. Here is the stipulation for the promise. Verse 9 there, Galatians 6, says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. And listen, look at this next three words. For in due season. That's not my time. That's God's time, right? In due season, we'll do what? Reap if what?
If we don't lose heart.
That's right. We don't give up and quit. In due time, right?
In God's time.
In God's time. And we may plant and plant and plant and plant before we ever see anything, right? And I know you could just take a garden, again, for example. You go out and plant and go out there. Come on in. You go out there in a day or two and look, and you don't see nothing. You don't see anything for your work. It hadn't started yet. And you may get, you know, I know we don't do it. We get disgusted, plow it all up, and say, well, it ain't ever going to happen. Well, that's not season yet. It's not time yet, right? If you look out in our yard right now, in fact, I've been doing a lot of pruning the last month, and this is the time to prune, of course, cut everything back. You look at that grapevine out there, the way it looks now, it looks like it's dead. And no leaves on it nowhere, no sign of life at all. It's hard to imagine that just a few weeks ago, several weeks ago now, it was literally hanging with grapes, or scufflings is what they are. But, you know, now it looks dead. So we still know that promise, because I know that's a grapevine. I know that's what it's going to do, right? But in due season. I could go out there right now and say, well, I want some fresh one. It ain't going to happen, because it's not season. It's not time. And it says in verse 9, and not to grow weary in doing good. In other words, keep on doing what God tells us to do, being content with what he gives us, you know. And this is a principle, again, that will work in virtually every area of your life. If we hold on, if we hang on, go to page 211, which is Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Come on in and join us, brother. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. What a promise. He's going to present you and me holy and blameless. That's quite a stiff promise, isn't it? That's a long ways from where we are now, I might add. Right? Holy and blameless. Wow. Now, how could that be? Well, verse 23 is the stipulation that makes that promise happen. It says, if, everybody say if.
If.
That's the biggest word in the English language, isn't it? Yeah. If indeed, and again, this is Paul writing, if indeed you what?
Continue
in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. He said, I taught you this, right? He said, continue in this faith, grounded and steadfast. Again, we live in this crazy world, and everything's coming at us, and it looks like it's all going down the tube. I was told at least 3 or 4 times tonight, I bet you don't have nobody out there tonight. I said, I bet you we do. I bet you we do.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
And because, one, I had met him on the lot. He said he was coming. But, you know, we're here just in case. And if nobody showed up, I'd be here. God would be here, right? So we continue in the faith. Doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what we hear. It doesn't matter what we feel, right? We just continue to walk in the faith. And here's another important word, grounded and steadfast. Grounded. What are you grounded in? What is your base, right? We're in Colossians chapter 1, brother. The little Bible is page 211. I see you got your own. Here's another one of them fanatic walks around with a Bible in his hand. I love it. Amen. And it looks like it's worn, too. Got all kind of stuff in it. There you go. I was told a long time ago when I got a new study Bible that if you stick things in it, it'll make it tear apart. And I said, well, praise God. You know, we'll get another one. Because I can't remember. I have to stick stuff in there where I was. But we just continue in the faith. And believe me, heaven is well worth waiting for. Heaven is worth everything we put into it. Heaven is worth well worth anything we put into it. And heaven is worth all the time it takes for us to follow the instructions in the Bible. And we will reap our reward if we don't give up. What is Isaiah 40:31? That's a familiar scripture. But those who what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That part about waiting is what trips us. I know it doesn't mean. I don't want to wait. I want it right now. Right? I'm what some call a microwave Christian. I want my answer right now. How many knows it don't happen like that? It just don't happen like that. And I think he strings me out just to have fun. I really do sometimes. Lee Strable, one of the missionary drivers, he says that sometimes God will punch Peter and say, watch me blow his mind. I think he does that with me quite often. But we have to wait. Now, go to page 212, just one page over from where you are, Colossians 3. And we're going to look at some plain old down-to-earth instruction on getting our prayers answered. How many wants to get your prayers answered?
Amen.
I mean, absolutely. How many believes, maybe I shouldn't ask for a raised hand, but how many believes that God answers every prayer you pray?
Oh, I
believe.
Yes, sir.
I do.
Yes, sir.
See, sometimes he says no, which we say he didn't answer us,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or sometimes he says, wait,
yeah.
Not now. I remember Joey when he was real little. One of the first things he wanted was my survival knife I brought from Vietnam. I mean, it was shaved. It literally, you could shave with it. And what I told him was, not now. I didn't say you can't ever have a knife. I said, not now. Why? Because he'd have cut himself with it, right? But of course now, of course he's bigger than I am now. He can have whatever he wants. But when he got older, I got him a knife. See? And sometimes God sees that what I ask him for would not be good for me to get right then. And he just simply says, wait. And I do detest hearing that. That's almost worse than no. But he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then, there's that word again, if then you were raised with Christ, what does that mean? If we were raised with Christ, that means we're born again, right? We were raised out of sin. You know, water baptism is symbolic of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. If we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth, for you died. Now, does that mean physical death? No. Spiritual death, that's right. We died to ourselves, right? We grow to the point in our spiritual walk that we pray for something and we just die to flesh and say, Lord, you know, when you get ready, I'm ready, kind of thing. If it's all right with you, I hear myself praying that quite often. It just simply say, if it's all right with you, I'd really like to have that, you know. And obviously, if it's not all right with you, I don't want it, right? Don't let me push the door open and get it when I'm not supposed to, right? Me and him are talking about a couple of items there now, as a matter of fact. One of them is a Honda three-wheeler, but he'll come around. Maybe. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Look at page 237 now. Some more down-to-earth instruction to get our prayers answered from God. To recognize or receive better from him. Hebrews chapter 12, if you got your Bible, 12:1, page 237. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Get rid of everything that hinders me from walking with God. And sometimes he'll remove something from my life. And I said, well, that wasn't a sin. No, ain't got nothing to do with it. But it was not good for you to have. It would have taken your attention off of me somehow or another, right? Sometimes, you know, we know several parents that have what we call special needs children, right? And that's a tremendous, tremendous ministry to raise a special needs child. And we even know some that adopt them. In other words, they don't have to do that. They love and want to do that. Here's my point, though, is even that love that child demands and needs can't get in the way of God. Nothing gets in the way of God. He said, if I'm not Lord of all, I'm not Lord at all. Right? And so things like that that looks good to somebody on the surface maybe, but it's hindering my walk with God. Because it's not, you know, I let it get between me and God. That's right. As much as I love Jan, I love her with all of my heart. But, it can't get in the way of my love for God. If you study it out, it's another message for another time. But my love, he says I'm supposed to love her as myself, right? But he turns right around and says, my love for him ought to make that look like hate. He said, if I'm not willing to give her up, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. And he turned around and said, but love her without, wait a minute. But it's two different kinds of love. And I've learned this, that if my love for God is right, my love for her will be in place. They're not fighting for one another, right? If we get that right. And remember the due season part, okay? Where are we at? Hebrews chapter 12, we read, did I get?
Verse 2.
All right. Did we read all of it? Let's read one again. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and, here's where we at, and let us run with what?
Endurance,
the race that is set before us. Carrie back there is a racer. They race. And there's X amount of laps got to be done around and around that track before it's over. He doesn't start out thinking, well, I'll just run five of them and pull out. No. You finish the race. And that's the way we ought to be with God, is saying, okay, you know, I've got all these petitions before you, but it's just that, requests, right? And say, I'm going to run the race with endurance. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wow. I don't have any problem. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, how could he have joy before him facing the cross? Because he looked beyond the cross. He knew the outcome, right? Now you say, well, we're not God. We don't know. Yes, we do know. Yes, we do know. We know what the Bible said. In other words, it don't matter what's going on in my life right now. That's not got nothing to do with it. I've set my sights on heaven. And again, what I said a while ago is that is worth anything it takes for me to get there, including not having what I think I ought to get now. Again, the stipulations in my prayer sometimes is, Lord, I really want this. I really need it. Could be a legitimate need. And he says no sometimes because he wants to do it another way. He wants to do it some other way than what I'm looking at, and maybe another time. So let us run with endurance and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he even endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the reason he says that shame is, it was a shame to be hung on a cross. That was the most humiliating death there was. And he was, not only was he on the cross, he was stripped of all of his garments. He was naked before the world to further humiliate him. How in the world, if he could look at that and say, this is what I'm fixing to do, and say joy? Because he knew what that was going to buy for you and me. He loved us that much that he sacrificed that for you and me. That's why I can't quite understand people who call themselves Christian, but yet they don't want to witness. They don't want to tell nobody about it. You know, if I gave you a new car, you'd tell everybody, everywhere you went. Joe gave me this car. Even if I told you, don't tell nobody, right? Remember the millionaire, Michael Anthony? Give him $1 million, say, don't tell nobody where you got it. If I show up $1 million, they put me in jail for robbing a bank. No, I ain't got it. But you know, like I said, I could give you a gift like that, and you'd probably tell everybody. Jesus gives us everlasting life. And who do we tell? Best kept secret in town, right? Bad. Let's go on, verse 3. For consider him, Jesus, of course, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, discouraged in your soul. Here's what I do. When I start to get discouraged, when I get to thinking, is it worth it? I know you don't ever think that. You're always pumped up and ready to go, right? Sometimes, right? Especially as drivers, you know, as a Christian driver, I've been there, and it seemed like I was the only Christian in 1,000 miles. Try to witness, and everybody beat you down, right? When that happens to me, I force myself to picture him on the cross. Now, he's not on the cross. The cross is empty. Amen? Praise God. He's conquered that. But I have a picture that I put in my mind and force myself to think about when I think times are rough for me. And if you do the study, Isaiah said he was beaten beyond human recognition. You couldn't even tell he was a person. He was beaten so bad. And this went on for a period of time. This wouldn't just happen one morning and he was hung and it was over and he was buried that night. No. No, this went on for a couple of days. In the meantime, he was swelled from the beating. We did a lot of study in history and when we were in Israel and facts, you know, of what happens when this happens to the body or whatever. According to theory, that's all we got is history and theory, but part of his nose was knocked off, beat off. He was beat with a cat of nine tails, they call it, right? With rocks and glass or whatever tied in that, you know. So when I think that I got it so bad, I just think about that. He ain't done that to me yet, right? It may happen before we get out of here. Hello? Yeah. I'm not one of them that believes that we're going to get in a cloud and float above trouble. You don't ever say that. But I will say that if we're walking where we ought to walk, then we'll be strong in the word and be able to take that when it comes, whatever that is. Okay? Well, in fact, look at verse 4 with me. It backs that up. He said, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, it hadn't cost us any bloodshed yet. Yet. We don't even want to be chastised. We don't even want to be persecuted, man. Right? Verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. Y'all probably never get rebuked by the Lord, but I do. Never get chewed out. Never get chastised. In fact, let's read a little further. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And you know, sometimes I think he loves me a lot. He must love me a lot. And he does. Amen? Amen? Aren't you thankful that he loves us enough to keep us in line? Amen. We've met, you know, being in PTA and whatever over the years, met parents who didn't believe in spanking their children. So, well, that's you and yours. But mine's going to get spanked. You know, I love them enough. Now, I'm not talking about beating. I'm not talking about abuse. Of course, I thought my mama, whew, she didn't know what abuse was. Must not have been too bad, though. I went and done it again. Ooh-wee. But you know what? Look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, if you endure it, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I don't want to be in that group. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and that's what we were talking about, right? I never had the opportunity to do that. My daddy died when I was 3, so I missed that. And I've heard boys, you know, almost curse their father, their daddy, and I said, Lord, you know, you don't know what I'd give to have that, really. Just to have somebody called daddy. And I got that December the 19th, 1971. I got a father who is always available. He's always there. I failed my children, not been available when they needed me, maybe. My father's never failed. He has never done that. Anyway, it's for, look at verse 10. For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best. Talking about our earthly fathers, best to them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of what? His holiness. Now, by far the greatest promise, turn to page 251, where I always wind up. If you've been here much, you always wind up at the same page. I'm sorry, with your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. The greatest promise in the whole Bible, with a stipulation. There's a stipulation. See, you can't even get saved without asking, right? Or else everybody would be. Sometimes you run across somebody says, well, we're all God's children. No, you're not. No, we're not, right? Only the ones who have accepted him. I was talking to the driver earlier out there when y'all walked up, and that's what we was talking about. He told me that me and God has an agreement. I said, the only agreement God has is in his word. And it says you must be born again. I said, are you born again? He said, well, I don't know about all that. And I said, well, you need to know. Because eternity's a long, long time. Who was it, the country singer, Me and Jesus, who got our own thing going? Tom T. Hall had that song, but I read it. But think about the lyrics. And I did too. Love to hear him sing. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. No, you hadn't. It's in his word. That's the only thing he's got going. Amen? He implied in that song that I don't do all that. I mean, you know, we got an agreement. Kind of like I don't bother him, he don't bother me kind of thing, right? In Vietnam, don't fire unless fired upon. That didn't work with us. I'm sorry. My platoon sergeant turned around and said, don't fire unless they got slanted eyes. So that was, you know, last order. But anyway, that's another story. You see, he chastises us in verse 10 for our profit so that we can be made partakers of his holiness. Now, 1 John 1 and 9. Look, what's that first word in that one? If means my option. My option. He's not going to make me. Right? I wish he would. I wish he would. Sometimes I wish he'd hit me with a 2 before and make me do what's right, but he don't. He loves me enough to let me do what I want to do. Amen? He said, if we confess our sins, what will he do? That's right. Chapter in David says, double coupon day. He not only forgives us our sin, but he cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. I want it all. I want it all. And to get it all, I've got to meet the criteria, the stipulations in his word. And a lot of times we find ourselves trying to get around some of that, right? And one of the big things, I don't know about with you, but with me, is called humbleness. Humbleness. Be humble. Almost like being a doormat sometimes, right? That's hard. That is hard sometimes. Because the flesh wants, you know, vindication. I didn't do it. I'm not at fault. So, and your point is, God would say, right? Go ahead. Go ahead and be humble, right? That's hard, isn't it? But you see, there again, that's a stipulation. Get your prayers answered. Right? And I'm not talking about getting stuff. I'm talking about just I want to hear him say something when I pray. Okay? Now, believe it or not, I shut up and listen sometimes. Rare occasion, but I do listen. No, seriously. In my prayer time in the morning, I listen. God, I know you got my day planned out. I know you, Jeremiah 29:11, you got a plan for me. You got a plan for you. And Lord, I know you got this great day planned for me, and I'm just excited about getting into this day. You know, and I may feel like death warmed over in my body, you know, all kind of aches and pains and whatever. But God, I know you got something exciting for me today. Now let me look like I believe that when I walk around. I don't want to drag people down with me, you know. Greatest promise in the world is right here, though. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I want to close in prayer. Everybody's got their Bibles, and we'll talk about it, but just in case there's something in somebody's life that shouldn't be, okay? Sometimes people call it rededication. You call it what you like, getting right with God. If you know there's something in your life that shouldn't be, you don't have to tell me. You got to tell him, right? He already knows it anyway. And some of it might be we just hadn't really, really dedicated our life. Now, what I mean by that is, yes, we said, Lord, forgive me my sins. Yes, I've been born again, but he's called you to a deeper walk. He said, Peter, get out of the boat. Get away from your comfort zone. And part of that comfort zone is walking in and sharing. You got a great audience right in there at that bar watching the ball game. And there's all kind of chances during the commercials to say something. Me, that's where I'd be if I wasn't out here. If I was a driver, I'd be right there waiting for my chance to say something. Right? It may be about the commercial, but it would reflect God. Okay, he'll give us something to say. So I want to walk out life worthy of him answering my prayer. Does that mean I'm righteous? No. My righteousness is what? Like filthy rag. Ain't nothing. But in him we are. We're made the righteousness of God. Amen. So tonight I want to pray this prayer. And if there's something in your life that, you know, shouldn't be, shall we say, as you pray this prayer with me, and I'm going to ask everybody here to pray it out loud with your heads up and eyes open. If there's something there that shouldn't be, he's going to take care of it if you confess it to him. Say, Lord, I don't want to do that no more. Whatever that is. I want to walk worthy of you. I want a deeper walk with you. I want a closer walk with you. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. But I want to, you say, well, I'm good. One driver told me the other day, I'm good. And that brought on another conversation. No, you're not. No, neither am I. But anyway, you might say, I'm not interested in that. Well, it won't do anything unless you release it to God. Something I learned with pornography, it took me 4 years to get a grip on pornography in my life after I got saved. Had Trucking for Jesus on my doors and all the stuff. And I knew places where I could park and go find it and look at it. And one night in Texas, I've shared this before, but I feel led to say it again. One night in Texas, I went back to my truck crying like I'd done many times. But that night I said, God, you took drugs from me. You took this and this and this and this. Why won't you take this from me? And he answered me and said, you don't want me to. You enjoy that. And that was, I wish I hadn't asked. But now I'm confronted. That night, and I can see it in my mind, as I tell you, I can see the whole thing playing out. Sitting on Ranger Hill in Texas, just west of Fort Worth. I remember saying, God, with your help, that will never happen again. I knew I couldn't do it. I done proved that. I couldn't do it. But I said, God, if you'll help me. And God is my witness. I'd be going down the road, and I know where those places are, okay? And it was like a magnet after my truck. It seemed like he's just going to go there anyway. And I said, no, we're not. If I don't go there, I can't see it. If I go where it's not, you know, until I got stronger in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it might be something we've just kind of stuck back in the corner and say, this is, you know, I'm going to keep this in. No good. No good. Again, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So let's make him not only Savior tonight, let's make a commitment to make him Lord, which means simply boss, or he's in charge of everything. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, excuse me, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to search my heart. If you see anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, I confess it to you. I want it out of my life. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And I receive that in your name. Amen. Now, according to how we meant that, right? I mean, we say words all day long. But unless it's from the heart, then, and if it is from the heart, there'll be a change. There'll be changes. He'll help us. You'll be convicted where you wasn't before or something. And I don't know what it is, okay? It might be language. It might be jokes. Who knows? I think we need to really tighten up our walk with God. And I've said we, everybody, because it's getting tighter out. It's getting worse out there in the world, in case you hadn't noticed. And those here work with our ministry knows it, there's an all-out attack right now on ministry. Not just ours, ministry. At truck stops, believe it or not, we don't have the liberty we once had. Right, in America, by the way. Not a third world country, right here in the U.S. of A. There's an all-out attack against ministry, so we need your prayers as much or more than you need ours, okay? We, as in all the ministries that are at truck stops, I'll put it that way. So, thank you for being here tonight.